Now, let me just make a few comments here before I preach. One of it is that, you know, about the Chinese church. You know, this is like a brother or sister. They're saying to us that my house is under renovation. Can I come and live with you for a while? Now, this is what's happening, okay? So this is our brothers and sisters in the Chinese church, and the Chinese church have now grown up to about 1,000 people. Okay, that's amazing, all right? And we believe that in the days to come, they're going to grow even bigger. In fact, I challenge the Chinese church to say that your congregation should be bigger than the English congregation. You know why? Because your market is bigger than the English congregation. There are a lot more Chinese speaking, you know, than English speaking. So I challenge them to say that, you know, that I want to give you a lion. And that lion is that you will grow much bigger, more than our size here in the English church in the many years to come. And so that is my, you know, call to them. So that is why they need to renovate. And then they need to come here for a few months. And so that's why we are accommodating them. All right, church, I know it's 1 hour earlier. Many of you, when you are not a morning person, you hear that 1 hour earlier, you may even say, I don't want to come to church anymore. Don't do that, all right, okay? All right, because we love our brothers and sisters from the Chinese church, therefore we are sort of, you know, giving way to them so that they can come here at 11:30 to have their worship. So that's only for a few months, and then we will move on from there. And then this, starting tomorrow night, will be a 5-day fast and prayer. So I want to encourage you, the next 5 nights, come here at 8:30 until 10 p.m., come and join us to pray. Because if we don't pray now, all right, and begin to entrust what God is doing in our midst here, then it's all human effort. So prayer is important. I'm going to give a slot, you know, on the 5 nights as well, for you to pray for yourself, to pray for your family, to pray even for, you know, your career, your business, whatever that you're doing, commit it to the Lord. And so that it will be a time not only pray corporately for the things around us, but also for ourselves. So I want to urge you to come and join us for as many nights as you can, all right? Now, I want to just make also a quick report of what's happening in the last Christmas season, the whole month of December. There were many, many things that were happening, because this is a great opportunity for us to reach out to many who do not know Jesus and to say to them that Jesus really loves them. And so here is a quick report, all right, of what's going on in the church in the last 1 month. So for the English, all right, there are 39 events. For the vernacular, there's a different congregation. We have 28 of them, and Myanmar, 136. As usual, the Myanmar church always lead the way in this, okay? And out of that, this were the number of people that were in attendance, meaning they were at the event, okay? So 5,000 over, because we lost count after a while, okay? But there's at least 5,600 or more than that, and then 8,000 over and 12,000 over. And out of that, on the right-hand side, right column, is a number of decisions that were made at all these events. So in other words, there's a total of about 5,000 over people who have made a decision to follow Christ. Isn't that amazing? Let's give the Lord a clap for that, all right? And so we want to celebrate. Of course, we don't just do it during Christmas. But throughout the year, can I challenge you, all right, to reach out, to be reaching out, every person to reach out to at least one and touch, you know, someone, influence someone. So we want to continue to rejoice over, you know, what God is doing, and I want to believe that there will be a lot more in the days to come, all right? And so why don't we stand right now to read the Word of God. Let's lift up our Bible. Let's lift up our Bible. Thank you. All right, and say, this is my Bible. Are you ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Amen. Let's read it aloud together from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. Are you ready? One, two, go. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, will abound in every good work. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We invite you, God, to come and begin, Lord, to release into each of us an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how that will continue, Lord, to release upon us, Lord, a faith. Build in us a faith, God, that will move mountains. And so we ask that, Lord, will you minister deep into our hearts, and Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here. You manifest the presence of Jesus powerfully here, that Jesus, you increase and we decrease, God. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this is the first of my preaching for the year, and this is where I will cast for you a vision. A vision of what's going to happen in the next 1 year. And I think it is good for you not to second guess, but to know exactly what the Lord has laid upon my heart and the heart of the leadership here in DUMC to say, this is what we will do this year. So let me do a very, very quick recap, all right? As in all good movies, they always have the, what have happened so far, right? So I want to highlight to you again, I've mentioned this before, but I thought I want to put this whole picture for you together, that in the since I stepped in as a senior pastor, God gave me a four-year vision. And that is to help our people to step, whether it's to step up, to step out, to step in, or to step forward. And we've seen a number of people doing just that. They are stepping up, many of them. You know, as I stepped up to be a senior pastor of this church, and many were stepping up into different roles. And I'm really thank God for many of them who has done that. And some have stepped out. Some are missionaries have actually stepped out. New missionaries have gone out and do something. And then to step in into the community that we are doing, and then to step forward. All right? And so things are happening. And so as we move towards that, we are saying that this year, as the Lord prepared us for last year to be stepping forward, now we really, really want to mean what we say. And so this year, the Lord has laid upon our heart to say that this will be the year of impact. And we call it Impact 2020, stepping forward now and beyond. Stepping forward into areas that God is going to call us to. Now, there are many, many needs in the world. We are not called to fulfill every need. Impossible. In fact, God has called the body of Christ. DUMC is a great church. There are many good and great churches around as well. That we pray that God will help us to cooperate and be able to strategize together and collaborate. And so we are not working alone. But God has called DUMC for certain things. So we need to be clear what God has called us to. So Impact 2020 simply means this. God will lay upon us a burden for certain projects, certain people, and certain groups of people. And we will go as the Lord leads us, and we want to make an impact. So that's what it means by Impact 2020. And so as we now celebrate 40 years, 40 years is an amazing, amazing number of years. Now, as I mentioned in an earlier video, probably 2 months ago, I mentioned that 40 is very significant. For example, Moses' life was divided into 3 segments of 40. And each of those 40, at the 40th year onwards, something changed. There was transition. You know the story of Moses, how each of those 40 moved him to something new and something that he was on a growth journey. And then Moses was in Mount Sinai, if you remember, for 40 days and night to receive God's law. And then, remember, he sent spies. I preached that a few weeks ago. He sent spies into the promised land for how many days? Make a good guess, 40 days, right? And then Prophet Jonah, warned Nineveh, the ancient Nineveh, for how many days? Guess again, 40 days, right? And then Jesus fasted and prayed for how many days and night? 40 again, before he began his ministry. And then he appeared to his disciples after he was crucified and he resurrected. He appeared for how many days before he ascended to heaven? 40 days. Now, the number 40 can also mean a generation. 40 years in the scripture means also a generation, where a new generation now is or was allowed, especially in the case of Moses, in the transition to Joshua. 40 years in the wilderness, there was a transition now into the promised land. So there's something about the number 40. I want you to recognize in the spiritual, all right? If you have not sensed it now, I want you to sense it in the spirit, that in the spiritual, something is going to happen. And I pray that it will happen for you personally for good, and for us in the corporate body for the good of the gospel. And so I want us to be mindful that in celebrating 40 years, God is going to do something really new and really powerful in our midst. And that is why we have designed this logo. We thank God for a team of really good graphics designers. And they were asking me, so, Pastor, what is your vision for this year? And I described my vision, and amazingly, they came up with this, and they say, this is the logo that we want to have. So it's projected prominently up on the banner. Now, every week, you can see it. Now, you can either see the number 40, or you can see the word, go. And that encapsulates the spirit, all right, that different spirit that we need to have as we celebrate 40th anniversary, we want to go and make an impact. So I love this logo, and I love it because it encapsulates something really powerful for me. I believe it's for you. Remember, on the 40th anniversary, we go. All right? And then right in that circle, that zero there, okay? You may not be aware, it was shown in a video earlier on. Right in that circle is our tagline. And then in that circle, you see there are three symbols in there. One is to love God. The second one is to serve people, right in that logo. And then the third one is to make disciples. And I love it that this entire, you know, symbol up on the banner, it tells us that on the 40th anniversary, we go, and part of the going is that we learn to love God, to serve people, and make disciples. It's all condensed into one logo, and right, you know, so that is our tagline, and then I want to remind us of our core habits as well, our core habits of honor, of humility, be real, pass it on, and having fun as you do this. And so that encapsulates, you know, what has been so far. And our emphasis has always been the gospel, meaning that everything we do in DOMC, it has to connect with the gospel. We just don't want to have activities for activities' sake. If it doesn't contribute to the gospel, because Jesus came to die on the cross for us, that we may have the good news of Jesus saving us from the wrath of God. And so it's so important that we keep that in mind. The gospel is prominent in everything that we do in DOMC. If it doesn't contribute to the gospel, don't do it, because it's a waste of time.
Right.
And so then, not only do we preach the gospel, we are reminded that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can never do it by our own strength. It must always be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be reliant on the Holy Spirit in the atmosphere of prayer and worship. Prayer and worship must be the foundation from which we begin to be empowered by the Holy Spirit as we preach the gospel. And so that's our emphasis. Again, this is a reminder. It's not new to you. So that we, as we start the year, you know, this is what the Lord is saying to us. And so therefore, from year 2020 onwards, we will call it, you know, Impact 2020. Now, notice the number 2020 plus. There's a word plus there because it is not restricted to 2020. It's going to be at least in the next 3 years, God has shown us a direction. So I can only tell you up to 3 years. But after that, I believe God will continue to reveal as we make the impact. And this is what's going to happen in the next 3 years, I believe, that as many of us, you know, go out as the Lord leads us, we are very much sometimes like Abraham. God says, go, and Abraham says, go where? and God says, I will lead you. I will show you. And that's the life of Abraham. And we want to be able to say, God, go, where do you want us to go? And then God will lead. And God will reveal to us some of these places. And as we go, we don't even know what's going to happen out there, but we go in faith. And as we go, I believe we will connect. We will connect to the very places, very people that God is going to show us. And as we do that, I believe, especially in the third year, we're going to establish. We're going to establish certain things. We're going to say, these things we should not do, these things we will do. And we begin to connect. And I believe as we do that, some of the most amazing things will happen in the fourth year onwards. And I pray that we all will have that sense of excitement to know that God wants us to be a blessing. And therefore, you know, I chose this theme verse here, which is right, you know, on the banner as well, where it says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And this was the promise given, you know, to Moses, that my presence will go with you as you come up from Egypt, as you now go to the promised land. His promise is that my presence will go with you, and I love the second part, I will give you rest. You know why God insists that Moses must know that? It is not you trying to strive towards doing something for me, God is saying. It is learning to obey Him, and as you obey Him, you will not strive. You will walk right in the will of God, and God will empower you. He will give you everything that you need to do what I've called you. You will have rest. I love that. I love that. Because in ministry, we must never, by the way, there's a lot of hard work. I'm not saying there's no hard work. But you don't strive. You know how many of us are striving every day in our life? We strive and we get worried, we get messed up in our mind. But God's promise is that I will give you what? Rest. I love that. So when we do Impact 2020, let's not go out there and do it with our strength. Let's go there learning how to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. And God's promise is that I will give you rest. So what does that mean? It means that, you know, as God promised Moses, go out of Egypt. And he went, Moses went to the Pharaoh and said, let my people go. You know what God is telling us, for some of us here? You need to let go of your pastor. You have been making that excuse that your past is hindering you in your Christian life. And God says, no. God has already said to the evil one, let my people go. And you need to claim up to that promise that you need to go. And so I believe there will be breakthrough in many of us here. Things that are hindering us in our lives, God will cause a breakthrough in your life because His presence will be with you. And the second thing, not only just from the past, it is in the now, in the present. Some of you, God is going to say to you, go. And like Abraham, go where, God? But I want to go, but go where? And God will reveal to you. Like, you know, Isaiah, when God says to him, go, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Right? God sent me. And so that is a go now in the present. But what is more exciting is this, that there's a go in the future. Because he says, my presence will go with you. And we know the famous, you know, mandate that God has given to us in the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. That word for the Christian is to go. We must keep going and keep moving. And this is something that many of us, if we don't watch it, we sort of stay comfortable. So remember, I preached 3 sermons at the end of last year. A quick reminder again. I talk about, you know, that Gideon, that God can use Gideon, He can use us, He can use me. And then I talk about Abraham stepping out of his comfort zone. He was very comfortable where he is. And God says, go. He doesn't even know where he's going. And then finally, I said at the end, the last sermon of the year, I said, let's embrace a different spirit. A different spirit. And then some of you were laughing away when I said this at the last sermon of the year. And I said, will you now, you know, stop making New Year resolution? Because we know New Year resolutions doesn't work for many of us because we keep repeating the same resolution every year. So I say to you, you know, stop, you know, making New Year resolution. Instead, you do what I call New Year obedience. You need to learn how to go to God every day, read your Bible every day, read what He has to say to you, and obey. We already know far too much. The problem is that we don't practice what God has said. It's a whole area of obedience. So this year, we will learn. How to be obedient to God. Be obedient to Him. Go where He directs you. Wherever that you are, God will direct you. And this is what, now coming to the crux of this morning, this is what I'm sensing for the church this whole entire year. Right? And so listen very carefully here, because this is what the Lord has revealed to me, which was only, you know, I had something planned for this weekend's preaching. And God a week ago said, no, preach that, but say these things, all right? Because this is what I believe the church needs to hear. So listen very carefully here what I'm sensing God is saying for us this year. And this is the whole area of what I call sowing and reaping. And let me explain to you what I mean. What do I mean by sowing and reaping? All right. Now, if we remember the verses we read earlier on, it talks about this, about sowing sparingly, we reap sparingly, those who sow generously, reap generously. So I'm going to unpack this whole passage for you and help you see why is it important to understand that this is a season of sowing? As we go, we sow. Now, let me give you the big idea as I unpack this. This is the big idea. The big idea is that this will be a season of what? Sowing. Everyone say sowing. This will be a season of sowing right now. As we enter into year 2020, we're going to sow. But we don't stop there. The second line of this big idea is this, that there will come a season of what? Reaping. But you must sow first. If you don't sow, you cannot reap. So we must be thinking about sowing. Sowing is very, very important in order to reap. So unpack that passage right now. Big idea again still. There are 3 things that we need to note. The first thing is in verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So there is a part that we play. Every one of us here. Our part. So what's our part? Sow. We need to sow. So that is the first part. Then, jumping on to verse 8, not verse 7 yet, but jump to verse 8, this is God's part. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So that's God's part. We have our part to sow. There's God's part that He will do. So that's a reminder to us. We partner with God in this area. God is saying, you sow, I'll do my part. Okay? Then in verse 7 is the third point. Verse 7 says that it's our posture. As we do our part, as God does His part, we must have the right posture. And what is this posture? Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Although this is the context of financial giving, but we know it's more than that. It's not just about financial giving. It's about giving of our lives to God, giving of our time to God. All right? So we know in totality this is what it means. So as you look at these three ideas, let me just quickly now unpack for you, you know, what this whole thing means of, you know, our part, God's part, and our posture. So the first part is our part. Now, what do I mean by our part? Remember this. So remember, okay, throughout the year, remember. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So this is my question to you. Everyone in this room, those watching on live stream, those on DMC at Puchong as well. Let me ask you this question. This is the question. How will you be sowing this year? How are you going to sow? Because if you don't sow, come 31st of December 2020, you look back, there's no fruits in your life. There's no reaping because you have not sown. So if you don't, if you're not intentional in sowing, I can guarantee you time will pass very fast. Before you know it, Christmas comes around already. And we know we cannot turn back time. So my question to you is, how will you be sowing? And let me tell you how you should sow, whatever that it means to you. Everyone just lift up your hands this way and your palms up. This is how we need to sow. Our part is to sow, right? How are we sowing? We are saying to God, this is my life, God. This is my resources. These are my time. God, you take what you need to take. And I will do and obey you in the things that I do. Now, that's how we can sow. Always with palm open, never with a clenched fist. Some of us pray to God with a clenched fist. We say, God, you don't take everything from me. Okay? All right? We need to palm open and say, God, this is how I will sow. And you know, sowing, there's no shortcut to sowing. Every investment person would know this. If you want to reap the benefit of profits and all that, or returns, return of investment, you have no choice but actually to invest, right? You have to invest. You cannot say, I want to reap, you know, a return without investing. That is almost, you know, it's a done thing in our mind. But as Christians, sometimes we tend to think that we just reap and no need to sow. It doesn't work that way. We need to sow. I was jokingly telling somebody, many of us, before we became a Christian, right, we always play empat eko, right? No, not all of you. Some of you play empat eko. There's empat eko called big and small, right? All right, you want big, you buy big. You want small, you buy small. Some of you look at me strange because you never buy empat eko before. Right? But even the world understands this, right? But for us as Christians, it's the same thing. That if we want to reap, we need to sow. Simple principle. It's not difficult to understand. But the problem is this. Why are many of us sowing so little? Why are we so afraid to sow? With our time, with our money, with our talents, why are we so afraid to sow? And let me suggest to you the reason why. Some of you are in that predicament right now. It's because of fear. You are very fearful about, God, if I give this away, my time, my money, all right, my talents, if I give this away, then I don't have anything left. See, that's the wrong thinking, you see? Because our part is to faithfully sow what God has directed us to sow. And as we do that, fear comes along, the devil comes along, and you yourself in your carnal mind begin to think like this, that out of fear that I dare not sow, because I better keep something for my rainy days. So there's a lot of fear in us, that we are not rising up in faith to say, God, I want to be able to trust you because this is what you have called me to do. Don't foolishly run to things that God has not called you. You need to be clear what God has called you, and once he has called you, then come the second part, which is God's part. And so, what is the opposite of fear? What is the opposite of fear? It's actually faith. It is faith recognizing that it is God who owned my life. It is God who created wealth for me. It's never by our own. We come with nothing, we live with nothing. That is a fact of life. And so we need to know that God is very much in control, and we need grace. Why? Because it's never by our own strength that we can do all this. It is purely the grace of God. So the point is this, that you do your part and let God do his. Otherwise, fear creeps in and will never amount, all right, to doing certain things for God. And so this one, I call it the year of obedience, a new year of obedience, learning how to hear and learning to step up in faith. And then God's part, comes God's part. God is, I love this verse here. In fact, we should commit it to memory, really. God is able to bless you abundantly. What does abundantly mean? Overflowing. He's going to bless you abundantly. That's the promise of God. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. I love the word all. All is a superlative. All. So in other words, God will bless you abundantly so that in all things, not some things, in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Whatever God has called you to do, he will provide for your need. And some of you here know what I mean by this. Some of you seated here, God has called you to something, and that's a big one. And you wonder in your mind, God, will I ever have what I need to do what I'm doing? Right now it's in your mind. Let me tell you, this is a promise of God. You do your part, let God do his part. And what do I mean by that? Simply, you do your part, let God do his. Again, I'm reminding you, let God do his part. And so sufficiency is always in God, not in ourselves. This is the faith journey in Impact 2020 this year to go. This is what God is going to teach you. Don't rely on yourself. Rely on the Holy Spirit, whatever that God is calling you to. Because even Apostle Paul, as he goes through, the thorn in his flesh, difficult times he's going through, Jesus came along and said, my grace is sufficient for you. It is really about God's grace, never something that we can come up with our own. So our part, God's part, then come the third one. It is our posture. Now what do I mean by that? Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. You see, God can never force anyone to do something against their will. God wants you to choose. Why? Because in choosing, it is called love. Love is a choice. And therefore you say, if I know that God loves me, and the way I respond would be that I choose to do what God has called me to do. Therefore, you need to decide. No one can force anybody to do what he doesn't want or she doesn't want to do. And God wants us to now, by choice, say that I want to do this. That's our posture. I want to do it, not because my cell leader asked me to do, not because my pastor wants me to do this. Let me quote to you something someone wrote to me. I was sharing this, at the leaders' meeting. I was challenging them to a vision during our vision day. And this person walked into the hall, and she herself went through this process of God challenging her. And then this is what she wrote to me after that. All right, this is about 2 months ago. He said, dear pastor, thank you for sharing the message, yesterday. I thought I would share with you what the Lord revealed to me about my own position and the attitude I was having towards Impact 2020. Now, God is speaking to everyone here. Because all of you here are at a different season of your life about Impact 2020. All right? Some of you look at it and say, this is what the church is doing. Some of you are excited. All right? And some of you are sitting on the fence, all right? So whatever that you are in, this dear leader is going through this, okay? So this is what she said. The Lord showed me I have this attitude. This is a vision and project God gave to senior pastor. It is senior pastor's project with God, not mine. Senior pastor is trying to get people to do it with him. Now, how many of you are in that position right now? Don't put up your hand. His project, man, not mine. Okay? So you're listening to all this. And I know some of you will fall in this same category as well. It's okay. It's all right. Because I believe God will show you. Then this is the next thing she wrote. But the Lord prompted me to ask this question to myself during that meeting. She said, do I know what He wants to do with me in Impact 2020? Now she has personalized this now. She said, do I know what God wants to do, all right, with me in Impact 2020? Do I know what He wants to grow in me in my discipleship journey via Impact 2020? So she has personalized this. It is not what senior pastor wants to do and ask me to come on board with it. She's asking now, what does God want me to do? Then she ended up by saying this. I came away asking the Lord to give me the right attitude and repenting from being distant in this. I am now waiting to hear from the Lord, asking the Lord to help me be willing and obedient. Now this fall right into a core habit of being real. Being real. And this sister, I wrote back to her and said, thank you very much for being so real. And I really appreciate this because it really shows me that, yes, you were struggling in the beginning, but you begin to personalize it. And church, a right posture would be that you need to personalize this. If you're in DUMC, regularly coming to DUMC, what is God's plan for you while you're in DUMC? And that's a question that you need to ask yourself if that's the posture that I want to encourage you to have. So in other words, to obey is better than sacrifice. Meaning that we can sacrifice and do certain things, but our heart is far from right. Because you are doing it under compulsion, you're doing it because somebody is forcing you to do it, or the whole church is, you think that the whole church is forcing you to do it, and you walk away a bit upset because, you know, that I feel to be such a foreigner in this church because I'm not doing this. And I hope this is not the attitude that we all have. We must be able to learn to obey and be willing. Remember, everyone make up his mind to say that I want to be part of this. Even if you don't do this, we still love you, in other words. We still love you because that's God's journey with you. And so, you know, I sort of redefine it to say it this way. Sacrifice is an obedience from a form compliance. That means you can even go on Impact 2020 projects. You can go on many of these trips. But yet your heart is far from it. Why? Because you are, there's a compulsion in you to go. You didn't really want to go on, but everybody's pushing you to go. That's the wrong posture. And we must make that right. So sacrifice is an obedience from a form compliance rather than wholeheartedly from the heart. And all of us need to work that through. Now, what is therefore the end result of that? And I love this passage of scripture following what we read earlier on from verse 12 to 15. Now, all that we will do from here on, and I love this affirmation here, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, and this is what we are doing in AGW as well, supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So part of our giving is giving thanks to God. God, thank you for saving me. That is how I want to respond. That is what it means, an expression of thanksgiving to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Meaning that if you understand the gospel is for that God will save the world, then we do our part. It's our response in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if we say we are Christian, we want to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing used by God. And then for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And then note verse 14 there. In their prayers for you, their hearts. Whose hearts? These are the hearts of people who receive that blessing. So their hearts will go out to you. That means they thank you, and because of surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. In other words, you know, all these who receive the blessings, they will give thanks to God and for you. And their hearts will well up in gratitude towards God. And as I was thinking about this, I remembered, you know, I shared with you, you know, I think sometime, probably the third quarter of last year or middle of last year, we said that we got to know about this church, you know, in Japan. And in Japan, this church here in Kanazawa, and this is Pastor Akinori Taguchi, and this is Kanazawa. And we got to know about this church because of a member who has gone over to Kanazawa with her husband, and he's lecturing there in the university over there, and got to know this church. And there have been a number of years of this church now, and she found out the need of that church. In fact, it's a Baptist church with a very small group of people. By the way, most churches in Japan are very small, 30, 40 people only. If they hit 200, they are mega church already. So it's a difficult ground in Japan. And the Lord somehow in the last 2 years bring Japan over and over again into DOMC for some reason, okay? And so, you know, I got to know about Pastor Akinori Taguchi, and this member wrote and said, this church is in bad need of renovation because the water are leaking through, all right, the church building. And although it's a prosperous nation, but do you know that the churches in Japan, many of them are poor? In fact, they're so poor, they can't even pay their pastors. And many pastors in Japan have to double up to have a second job in order to sustain themselves. That is so sad when I hear that. That these are men of God who have obeyed the calling, but yet they do a second job. And so my heart really goes out to many of these pastors. And so, you know, this member said to us, you know, is it possible that DMC contribute? I said, sure, how much do you need? And we look at the sum and we send 8%, 8% of what they need across to them. And this member wrote back and said, you know what? And when Pastor Akinori opened up that letter, he started to cry. He said that, I didn't know there was a church in Malaysia that cares about us. What an amazing, amazing thought, you know, as his heart goes out to God. God, thank you, thank you. And do you know, even through our AGW, and on top of AGW, there are many, many who has opened that letter and give thanks to God. And that is what we are trying to do. It's amazing. And therefore, you know, in case, not only that do we support this church here in Kanazawa Baptist Church, we are also supporting another church in Sapporo. And many of you have met Pastor Tuck and Sue. And in our AGW, the one that you gave to, it is going to supporting, you know, Pastor Tuck and Sue in Sapporo Minami Evangelical Church in Japan. So these are the two churches that we want to be involved in. Now, whether we just go by faith, whether God will open up many more, we don't know, but we go by faith first. Let's go. Let's connect. Right? In case you do not know where these two places are, let me show you on the map. Sapporo is right on the top, and at the bottom is Kanazawa in the main island. And some of you, I don't know, some of you may end up going to Japan. If God will get raise that burden in your heart. And end of last year, all right, we decided, you know, our missions, Crossview Department have said that why don't we explore? So they sent out an exploratory team. Four brave ladies said, we will go. All right, so I'm going to show you a video of what they did. This, remember, is just exploratory, you know, trip that they're making. They're lying. Never been to, you know, doing a mission trip in Japan before. Never done this. Let's try. All right, so I want to show you, you know, a video of that, and then sit back, just watch. It's a few minutes video here.
おはようございます。<笑><笑>
Amen. And you notice in that video, we all blend in, right? Malaysian blend into the Japanese, right? But they were much more open to foreigner coming in and for the gospel. In fact, you saw in that video, they actually led one person to the Lord, just doing street ministry. Right? That's amazing. And so, you know, I'm also very burdened to know that in 15 years' time, 20 years' time, at the rate that they are going in Japan, in the Japanese church, if no young people rise up, in 15 to 20 years' time, half the churches in Japan have no pastors. And that is something that when I heard it, I said, boy, Lord, what is our part in doing that? I don't know. But we need to go and begin to scout out what God is going to do. And so I've challenged all of us here to look at chasing our lions, right? I've been saying that the last many months now, okay? And so in that sense, you know, Impact 2020 is our chasing that lion in our lives. What is that God calling to us? Like Benaiah going into that, on a snowy day, into that pit, into that cave, and kill that lion. All right? And so to chase the lion means to have a dream so big that unless God is in there, we are bound to fail. In other words, church, learn to have God's dream, not your dream. Your dream is too small. Learn to have God's dream. So have a dream so big that unless God is in there, it's bound to fail. And that's an important thing to know. You know, as we do that, think of something you've never tried, something you've never done, and some places you've never been. So this is God. This has to be the lion that you need to chase, a dream so big. Now, why is it important to have what I call a God-sized dream? Just three quick things. Why is it so important? Number one is that, you know, God-sized dream ensures our growth. If you don't have a God-sized dream, you will not grow in faith. You will not even grow in skills because you're going to do something you never tried before. And God said, trust me, I will give you the spiritual need, that all you need, I will give to you to do what I have called you to do. But you know what? God is more interested in who and what you will become more than what you would do for Him. And so it will really grow you. And God's size dream will force us to invite others into a bigger story. In other words, because it's so big, I need to invite others to come in to help me in this. So it has an effect, a multiplying effect, that if you don't step out to have a God-sized dream, you won't be able to influence and affect others around you. So God-sized dream forces to invite others in the bigger story. And lastly, you know, a God-sized dream will give glory to Him and not us, because we know for sure that it is not us. It's an impossible dream. But yet when it happened, we know that it is of God. And so last year, at the end of last year, you know, I challenged people to write down. Remember, some of you wrote down on post-it notes, what are your lions? And many of you wrote that down. It's amazing. I look at the list of lions that all of you have. I said to myself, if God fulfills these lions through you in the coming years, this entire church will be changed. Really? So the team came up and said, why don't we do a quick interview video of all these people who wrote their lion? Remember, this is still a God-sized dream. But what are some of the things that our people are saying? You need to know they are saying this. So let's roll that video. It's a short, very short video to tell you what are our people saying what the lions are. Okay?
My lion is.
我的狮子是。那他们是什么？
To reach out to the Bahasa speaking community.
带领五个小组可以栽培更多有素质的组长.
Menjangkau 1,000 pelajar-pelajar Sabah dan Sarawak yang berada di Semenanjung.
Bundel kumpul lagi kerja anita vali berpelajarum, awalgilke nalla vali katukonde sabeki kondo barawendom.
Jono pamer cendekaro, atenoe worshipin seven potolaau jono juzarwame.
To mentor 5 young adults in IT industry.
Memenangkan teman-teman sekerja saya untuk Jesus.
要影响三人，还有兴起下一代的领袖.
B40 India Samuga Matil Boys Brigade Arimagapadati Kristu Yesuvukkal Vali Naduthudal.
Tinni Nathauna Saye Chuma Phame Chine Yaro Malaysia Nangai Ya Anine Ya Ya Ma Home Sei Ryo Sa Pyu Bi Phya Nangai Daw Ryo Lu Ri Mya Sa Kho La Me.
To be a full-time Boys Brigade officer.
Advocate economic empowerment for the poor.
Jono permission they are pay out the king or chibi, credo the azikame, the bed or chow yogo, mwe to punya the pibare.
memulakan gereja digital untuk komuniti berbahasa Malaysia.
我要我的小组今年倍增到50人，明年可以分组啦。
Making Jesus known in the music industry.
2020 நம்ம தமிழ் கங்கிரேஷன்ல 2000 ஆத்துமகளை கொண்டு வரணும்.
Planting a church in Phnom Penh.
我希望在 DUMC 教会以外能够有儿童主日学的聚会。
Evangelism through Counter Strike and football communities.
Mempersiapkan dan memperlengkapi seramai 50 pendoa syafaat di negara Malaysia dan juga di luar negara.
To minister to the children in Myanmar.
நம் சமுதாயத்தில் இருக்கிற பெண்களை கட்டி வளப்படுத்துவதே நம்மளுடைய நோக்கமாக இருக்கிறது.
To take part in planting a multi-site church.
To be part of an orphan care initiative.
2020年，ကျွန်တော်ဖမ်းမဲ့ခြင်းတွေကတော့လူတွေကိုတကယ်ပဲကောင်းကြီးဖြစ်စေမယ့်ဖခင်ရဲ့မျက်မှောက်တော်ကိုတည်ဆောင်တဲ့ချီးမွမ်းခြင်းနဲ့ကိုယ်ွယ်ခြင်းတခြင်းတွေကျွန်တော်အထက်ကထွက်လာဖို့ရန်အတွက်ဖြစ်တယ်။
To bring my family for a mission tree.
என்ன மாதிரி இருக்கீங்க தமிழ் வாலிபன் பாய்ஸ் வேலைக்கு கொண்டு வாங்க.
To evangelize and minister through prophetic dance.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Jump! Let's go!
Let's go!
Now turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready or not? Now imagine with me, 5,000 people in DUMC having a lion. Just imagine with me. 5,000 people, everyone, God point them to something. It's not about big things or small things. It's just every one person says that this is what God is asking me to do. 5,000 lions. You know, the other country that God has opened up for us is Sri Lanka. In fact, last year, we make exploratory trip. In fact, we established a work there in Jaffna. Jaffna is a war-torn area that have taken many years to recover, you know, because of the fightings that have been going in there. But God has led us to Jaffna. We've contributed towards that. We have started something there. And we have even started, you know, begin to start a boys' brigade right in Jaffna. And now we're bringing it down to Colombo. In fact, that's the plan now, to bring it down to Colombo in Sri Lanka. And God is expanding the lions in some of our people to say, it's possible with God's help. And so it's amazing. Are you ready? Are you ready to know what God is going to do through you? What is your lion? And so I want to challenge you here. How does 2020 impact you? It will impact you in your personal life, in your work life, in your ministry, wherever God places you. It's not about all these projects, you know, or the trips that we are making. It's also about your everyday life. What is your lion in your home? What is a lion in the workplace that you're in your university, in your school? What is your lion? Have that God-sized dream. Ask God, what is it that you want me to do? You may not follow, you know, our trips, but in your own way, in your own initiative, you can actually do something what God has directed you to do. There's something that everyone can do. For example, we have challenged you. Everyone reach out to one person. This person is really a lion who doesn't want to even respond to the gospel. I will pray faithfully him for this person, he or she, for the next 1 year and see what God will do. That could be your lion. And if every person does this, every person DMC does this, this just double by the end of this year, right? Or one person, just bring in one person. That's a lion for the church. Okay? And then most can do, there's certain things most of us can do, like going on these trips. Most of us can do that, or only a few can do because you are the expert in these areas. Only some of you can do this, and God will call you to do something, you know, that is uniquely you because of the gifting and the influence that you have. So I believe that this is something for everybody, everyone here. No one should be exempted because I do not want to rob you of the blessings of God over your life in these next 3 years. And so, you know, a reminder to us that God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. And the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. That is why we continue to give in our AGW. And every cent that you put into the AGW box, God is saying, I will not forget. I know what you did, and I will never forget that. And so the big idea again is that this will be a season of sowing, And there will come a season of what? Reaping. So my final words to you is, don't miss out. And that's the heart of a pastor here. I do not want anyone in DMC, come 31st of December 2020, I wish I had done something. I wished I had sown into something. And I pray none of us will have a regret. So what? Don't miss out. And this is where I want to challenge you as I close. You need to ask God. You need to go into this season of sowing. What is it, God? You pray. You ask God, what do you want me to do, Lord? As a church, we know exactly what we need to do. But what about you? Are you going to come on board to some of these things? Or are you going to, you know, do something uniquely you? And that's okay too. But that's a lion you need to chase. So don't miss out. Let's bow our heads right now. As I always ask those in UMC at Puchong as well, those on live stream, you do the same as well. As you bow your head, ask this question. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is your heart beating a little bit faster? Because God is just impressing upon you something that you know is sounded almost impossible. But yet God says that my presence will go with you. And I believe God has spoken into all our hearts. And some of you here may be here, you may not know Jesus here. But tell you what, if you want to be in that dream, the God-sized dream, you can give your life to Jesus. Even right now, start the year with having Jesus in your life. And if you desire to do that, a simple prayer will do, because God hears the prayer of your heart. And all you need to do is to invite Him into your life and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you died on the cross so that I can be set free from my sin. Thank you. Please come into my life. And if that is the prayer of your heart, make that prayer right now in your heart, and God comes in. Some of you may have backslided away from God for a long time now. Maybe God is saying to you, come back. Come back. Say the same prayer. Jesus, come back into my life. Come into my life, God. And if you have said that prayer, you know, if a friend had brought you, turn to your friend and say, hey, I said that prayer just now. Can you help me? Give me some more information. Or we can come help you in the front here. Some of the pastors can pray with you. Right? But I just sense that this morning that I want to challenge you to have a call in your life. And that call is basically into the season of sowing. And I want you to offer your life to God right now. And say, Lord, here I am. With palms open, with hands open, palms up. And say, God, this is my life, God. And I want to take a step further, because I sense that for some of us, we need to just entrust what we desire to do, and even things that we're not sure exactly yet, but we want to entrust our life to God. And I want to give an opportunity where I can pray for you. And one of the best things that we can do is to offer our lives. And I want to open up this time right in front here for some of us to just come up, if that's what the Lord is telling you to do. Because you already have certain things in mind. Or maybe you're not sure, but you want to offer your life to the Lord and say, God, will you take me from here now? And I want to pray for all of us, because there's something about coming to the front as a corporate body of Christ to say, God, here I am. I want to offer myself for this. What about you to do? Because I don't want to miss out. So I know we are all at different seasons, but if you sense that this is what God wants you to do, I want to invite you to come up together with the leaders and pastors of this church to just offer our lives to God, just as I'm doing right now. I want to offer this church to the Lord and say, God, will you do something powerfully through us? And so as we sing this song, let's all stand right now as we sing this song. If that's what God is calling you to do, to say that, God, I want to offer my life for this, God, whatever that's going to happen this year, Lord, will you bless my journey? And I want to give an opportunity for you to come right up and then stand in front together with me, and then we offer this to the Lord. And I believe this is an offering that God will really delight in. All right? So you're going to sing this song. Whoever it is, come right up quickly. Even up from the gallery, we wait for you to come down to say, this is my life, God. I really want you to use me in a really powerful way. And some of you need to do that, because it is your commitment to yourself and to God in doing this. All right? So let's do this. All right? Come quickly to the front and stand in front. All right? And then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. All right? Thank you, Lord.